Welcome to Global Citizen Life. Today on the show, we have Claudia Galagos. Now, Claudia is a writer, thinker, teacher, and entrepreneur, constantly learning and feeding her inquisitive mind. She believes in the art of good life and is writing, soon podcasting too, about it. Born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, she's a citizen of the world. Subjects are how to live the life of your dreams, how to be conscious, aware, loving, and compassionate without losing yourself. She's fluent in English, Spanish, and French. Well, welcome to the show, Claudia.
Hi, Sally. How are you doing? Thank you for having me in the show.
Very good. And so tell us a little bit about yourself, more than what I just read there within the bio.
Oh, there's so much more, but I tried to be succinct. I was living in Buenos Aires. I was in my early 30s. And one day I started thinking about moving, and I had an urge to change the scenery. So I decided to try. I was married at the time. And with my ex-husband, we decided to try another country. And the country was the US. We came to live in Miami. And for the record, I had never thought that I would even visit Miami for any reason whatsoever. So here we are, so many years later. So Miami has been a good home for me. With many, many challenges, because it's it's moving to a different culture. So it's a very interesting place to live now. 20 years ago, it was so.
Yes, it probably was quite different. And so how did you end up choosing the US over, other countries in the world?
The choice of the US was to have a hub where you can travel from. I'm from Argentina. It's a very southern country in the planet, so usually traveling from Argentina is very expensive. I was in the import-export business at that time, and so was my ex-husband. So it was a good base to have to tend our clientele and move into a different kind of life. And it was good. It was good at the time. Then everything changes, right? Like life changes. But it was a good choice at the time. It has given me the opportunity to travel to many places, because there's so many more flights in from the US to different places inside the US too. So it gives you a different lifestyle, and I am one of these people that have the suitcase ready in 5 minutes and the passport in hand and ready to travel. So that was my whole point, right?
Right.
That's what I wanted to do.
That's great. And I completely understand. I spent a few years in Costa Rica, and even living in Canada, there's many flights, but it's far from a lot of destinations. So I could see that Buenos Aires being even more south is quite far, because living in Canada or Costa Rica to get to Europe or to Asia or anywhere, kind of even out, even within the Americas, countries are quite large, so it's far to fly. I know even in Canada, you can probably fly easy 7-8 hours if you're going east to west and still be within Canada. And so I love being in parts of Europe, because within 2 hours right now from Montenegro, or when I'm in Spain, I can be in many countries within 2 or 3 hours.
That's correct. It's the same thing that happens when you live in South America. From Buenos Aires to Rio de Janeiro, there's a 3-hour flight, which is not bad. But inside Argentina, you can also travel 3 hours if you go to Southern Patagonia, or if you go to the Northeast or the Northwest. every area that I mentioned has a complete different scenery, from flats and mountains to glaciers to the forest and the waterfalls, and to the dry orange mountains like you would think in Nevada, or in dry red,
like desert like
colors,
almost,
beautiful.
Yeah,
and you're in the same country. The US having a lot more population, and by consequence a lot more travelers, allows me to travel to places that would have been very, very difficult to travel from Argentina, a lot more expensive. So I travel to Asia, I travel to Europe, Central America, the Caribbean. The Caribbean is like going to the backyard, right? You can spend a weekend in the Bahamas, and it's a complete, it's completely possible to do it. It's not an exorbitant amount or extravagant expense. So that is a kind of lifestyle that I wanted to incorporate in my life. I think traveling is the door to have a more extensive view of how people live, on how people think, to experience different cultures. We were with my husband with my present husband, which has been for many, many years now. We were in Morocco this year, and it was a fantastic experience, because we were doing many things that the locals do. So not only doing the touristy circuit, but also, talking to people, going to the markets, something that is a very common thing in most of the countries, but it's not in the US, right? So it gives us an opportunity to keep, refreshing our thinking, our well-being, our, challenging our fixed ideas that we create along the years. So,
Yeah, that it definitely is the joys of traveling. Now, when you relocated to the US 20 years ago, there must have been a lot of challenges with that. Like, just I think of off the top of my head, just like getting a green card or your residency to live there, and finding a place to live, opening a bank account. There must have been many challenges to go through. And the language as well. How was your English back
my
then?
My English was good. It was
okay,
not
that's good. So that's one thing that helps.
However, I can tell you something interesting. My English was good. I was able to read and talk and understand films and news and, However, I didn't have the street language. So one day I went to a market to buy some things that I needed, because, when you move to a different country, you don't bring a lot. So the cashier started talking to me, and my eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And my mind was like, is he speaking English? Because I really couldn't understand any word of what he was saying. Because one thing is to learn English as a second language, and another thing, or any language as a second language, and another thing is to speak the everyday language and to cover your daily needs. So at that time, that it was 20 years ago, Jerry Springer was still on TV, and.
I remember that show from when I was younger. Yes, so I know which one you're meaning. Yeah.
So what I did is to put the captions, because I wanted to understand the slang, the way some people speak. That is not how I speak, but it was very helpful for me to understand. So I dedicated a month every morning at 10 with my TV and my captions to relate the sound with the words, because I really didn't understand the words. So that was a challenge. There were many, many challenges with the food. In Argentina, we have a more European way of eating. You go to the market, if not every day, almost every day, to do your grocery shopping. So you eat fresh food every day, which is not practical to do in the US because of the distances. There's not many fresh markets. Now there's more. 20 years ago, there were not. So that was a big, big challenge. I was sick like for 6 months. Everything was bad to my belly, and I had to relearn to choose cheeses and to buy the right green peas. Or it was something else. It was something else. I had to learn to order a cup of coffee. Because in Argentina we drink more European Italian style of coffee. So one day I ordered a coffee here, and they bring me this huge cup of coffee with something that was completely translucent. And I said, no, I wanted a coffee, not a tea. And the person looked at me like,
this is coffee.
And I was like, oh, okay, we have to start from scratch here. So, you know, it depends on what is your mindset. My mindset was that I wanted to learn where I live and the customs, and, you know, try to adapt the ones that I want to keep and try to incorporate new ones. For example, I incorporated Thanksgiving, which is a unique celebration in North America, especially in the US and Canada. No other country that I know has a Thanksgiving Day. So I thought it was a physical manifestation of the gratitude that you have for all the good and the bad you have in your life. Because what we, you know, say is bad, it's not really bad. It's challenging. It's not really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something different. It's something that makes us move to the next level. So, what was your experience?
It's and the thing, interesting thing about Thanksgiving too, is that in Canada we celebrate Thanksgiving about a month before they do in the US. So it's because the US, they kind of start their holidays Thanksgiving, then going into Christmas, but ours is earlier, because in Canada we have to harvest the farms and the crops earlier, because if we waited till the time in the US, everything would be under snow and we would have no crops and no food. So we have our Thanksgiving about a month before they do in the US.
That's fantastic.
So there's even differences even between the US and Canada.
It's a good celebration to add to any
culture.
It's one of the ones I like. But one of the interesting things that happened is that, you know, I came with a certain amount of money and I couldn't go around with the money in my pocket. So go to a bank, I finally managed to open an account. That was a whole process, and four banks later. So I managed to open an account. And when I opened the account, you know, some days go by, and I go back to, you know, extract some money because I needed to continue living. So the cashier tells me, a passport is not a valid identification in the US. Next. I was like, what?
even now I'm like, what? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is.
It's hilarious. And I, you know, I was stressed out. It was only a week that I had been here. I was trying to get an apartment. Everything that I was seeing, you know, I didn't know anybody anywhere. So everything was challenging. So I said, how is not a valid passport? It's my only document. And she said, no. It's not. And we couldn't move her. So when the manager saw me like shaking and crying, she came and she told me, no, she's confused. She's very new. I will train her better. But that was, it's funny now. But at the point, at that point, it was not funny.
No, it's so nice. Yeah, it's nice that sometimes we look back on experiences and think, okay, it was funny or it was a story that we can tell. But at the time, I could imagine it's so stressful because you probably used that document to open the bank account. So if you use it to open it, you're like, what do you mean it's not valid? I used this document to open the bank account. So this is what I have.
At that time, I was just experimenting and putting my package together to be able to complete my visa application, which later became a green card. It was so many things that I needed to do, that I needed to go see my lawyer, open bank accounts, get a physical address because I needed somewhere to land. So it was challenging. But I also took it with some lightness because I wanted to make it a positive experience. I wanted to make it an experience to learn and to give a twist to my life, because I had a very comfortable life. I had a very nice apartment and I was living in a very nice area. In Buenos Aires, I didn't have a car. I had a big and a small motorcycle, depending on where I was going. I had all my family there, my friends, and so moving to another country, I took it like an adventure. I took it like, something to push me to do something different. So that also pushed me to write more. Not every time I publish it, but I write more. And that is a good thing because it helps me to think and helps me to make a choice, better choices for my life. Mm-hmm. So that is really...
Moving abroad is full of challenges. And I've done it 4 times now. I'm considering another one. And each time I go through, there's still phases and stages that I go through. So even with my last relocation, when I moved, I was here for a few months. And I find, depending upon the size of the city that people move to, usually somewhere between 6 and 8 months is really kind of when that initial kind of loneliness, did I make a mistake? Did I do the right thing? Like we really start to question ourselves. And even me doing it the number of times I went through it here and I just remember saying to myself, no, this is part of the process because we're so busy at first trying to do everything, finding a place, then bank accounts, if we need documentation, all of that kind of stuff. And then when we get to the place or that stuff's kind of done, then we enjoy, everything is new. It's exciting. We're going to new places. We're checking out new stuff. And so after kind of that 6 or 8 months, we're really starting to settle more in and that newness is wearing off. And then comes I haven't seen my friends in a long time. And especially back then, there's not like there is now. It's easy. I can video call and talk and message and see what my friends are doing all over social media. So it would have been a lot harder back then.
Different. Because the Miami that is today was not 20 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. It was a much, much, much calmer city, a lot less population, almost no cultural activities. I come from Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires is a very cultural city with almost in every neighborhood you have something to do. You have bookstores everywhere. You have art galleries or art exhibitions. You have theater. So you have all those things. And I moved to Miami, and it's a city that has almost nothing. So that's something that was a big shock. I come from a city where you go for dinner, you get with your friends for dinner at 9 to sit for to eat at 10 or something more or later. Mm-hmm. And more than once I ended up here not eating because it was too late. So those are the adjustments. The first 6 months are difficult, and then you settle, and then you have to start thinking, is this the good place for me? And I thought so many times that this was not the right place for me. It was very difficult to get a job. I was in Argentina. I produced television, and I produced also television for international companies. But here I was neither or. I was not a foreign correspondent, nor I was a local. So they offered me jobs for 1/3 of what was the ongoing salary. They did not pay me for jobs that I did. It was a roller coaster until, you know, I started finding my space, and I worked for many years by myself. So I started to going back to work by myself. And that was what made my life better. Because, you know, in theory, I had no working experience. Go figure that. Because you have to have some experience. Right. So whatever experience that was overseas was not experience. So I had to start from scratch. Same as driving. When I was a child, we live in the countryside in Argentina. So all the kids learned to drive at 12, 13, 14 max. So I learned to drive at 12. And one summer I drove my dad around all my life. So when I came here, they told me, oh, you're a new driver. And I was like, what? I'm not a new driver. I'm new in this country, but I'm not a new driver. You know, it was entertaining. And learning how other countries work is also, to me, is an adventure. And that is the most interesting, meeting people. Even though when you know, we live in a city that many people don't consider that is completely the US, because you can live, for example, you can live in Miami without speaking any English whatsoever. So you can live in Spanish, 100%. And there are many people who do that. There's lots of migrants. There's a very, very important number of exiled Cubans here. So you start mixing up. You start adding, for example, that you eat moros, which is black beans with rice. And, you know, that's when you go to a market and you eat, or you eat maduros. And those are like hard bananas and fried, which are delicious, by the way. but you know, you start incorporating other things. Mm. So it's interesting how it's changing. And now, 20 years later, Miami has become a very cosmopolitan city. With now we have a tech pole. Miami is becoming a technological, like the Northwest in the US was before and still is. Now Miami is an emergent tech pole. Mm-hmm. So that is very exciting. Mm-hmm. And there's many more cultural activities, and there's many, you know, there's much, much, much better food than 20 years ago. 20 years ago, the food was like dubious. But now you can go and eat in Michelin star restaurants, and, you know, it's changing. And that is also part of the process, right? And sometimes we ourselves, we get surprised. We drive by a place and we say, oh, this was not here. What happened? When was the last time we drove by? And this happened yesterday. It's also that, you know, with all that comes a lot more traffic. So,
right.
You know, it's a whole change.
It's balancing. I don't really like, I do use the words pros and cons a lot. I try not to, because it's more balancing, and it's because there's benefits and there's sometimes setbacks. But what I think of maybe a con, it might just be a challenge. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It is, as you said, balancing. And as more things are coming in, more different restaurants and stores and shops and different cultures, there's benefits to that. And then there's also challenges, as you said, like there's more traffic and things, but it's weighing that. And if we look anywhere in the world, it's definitely not the same as it was 20 years ago. And more places are the melting pots, which is great.
It's great. And, you know, the communications, I don't know, 20 years ago, you had to buy a phone card and have a callback number. So you would dial a number and let it ring once or twice, depending on the card, and you hang up, and that number will call you back. And there was your international call. But, you know, if I am a tech geek, I love technology. I think it's here to help me. It's like saying, well, I'm not going to use the car because it's technology. It's like, yeah, you have to use it. It's a tool. It's one more tool in my toolbox. So when, you know, when it first came up, Skype many, 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 many moons ago, mm-hmm. I, you know, I got it. I put my mom on that and my brothers, and, you know, we said, okay, this is a different way of doing it. But we can, you know, we can participate of the birthdays, and we can, you know, we can continue our relationship into the future. So that, to me, was a very, very important thing to do. But, you know, some people still think that technology is not for me. It's like, well, why you use shoes? That is technology too. Better go barefoot, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's it's a negation of what you have. Those are the tools that we have now. Those are good tools to use. And they help us. I have friends around the world. I have friends in Japan. I have friends in France for many, many moons. I have an adopted nephew in Belgium, and two adopted nephews that are living in Israel. And how do you communicate with them? If you say no to technology, you lose the connection. You know,
that's right.
We used to write letters, and writing letters is a different exercise that I think it is important as well. It maybe you don't want to put a stamp and put it on the mail, but writing an email is a longer reflection than a conversation. And that is also very useful. This is one of the things that I teach, is that you have to continue writing, because writing is thinking, you know?
It is, and it's very creative.
It doesn't have to be poetic or excellent or anything. It's just moving it from here through your arms into a paper. I prefer to do that in paper, but into a form, into something you can read and print and reread. it makes our experience better. We think better our experiences, and this is why we're here. You know, this is part of the human experience that we want to. I have a hair in the middle of my eye. I'm so sorry. And it's sticking into my contact lens. So that's
oh
not
no.
Good. Sorry that I was
it's
touching
okay.
My face. But anyways, you know, it's part of our human experience. We came here to move around and to meet new people and to push ourselves out of the comfort zone. I think for me, moving to another country was a big push into out of my comfort zone, because I was, you know, I had two small companies and I was doing well, and I had my family, my friends, and my little world. And when I moved, I said, oh, but I can, you know, go for 5 days to Mexico, or I can, you know, go for a week to, you know, Barcelona. Or so my world changed, and my trips that were closer by expanded. So that to me was a big thing. It was a very positive experience.
I find also,
however,
too,
I have to say that
yeah.
However, I have to say that living in a different country is not for everybody. Because there's, I'm pretty sure you also experienced that. There's moments of a lot of solitude, a lot of frustration. There's moments when you want to really quit. There's challenging times. There's all kinds of difficulties, and you have to be a very strong person to do it, and have a sense of individual survival, that you don't depend so much on your tribe, on your family and friends, and, you know, on your social support, because it's a challenging thing to do. It's not for the faint of heart.
It is challenging, and I think that's why also too, the person needs to think about like their reason why. Why are they moving? Because if it is in a way that sometimes we think to escape ourselves, we're not happy, we're lonely at home, we want something different. Sure, it's going to be great for the first, as we said, 6-ish months, 8 months maybe. But if you're trying to escape yourself, person who's always with you is yourself. And so I often say to people, like, why do you want to go first? Think of what that why is. And then it's finding the right place, because countries are very different. Even cities within countries can be quite different as well. So the first is the why. What do you want? What are you, you know, what are you striving for? And then of course you have to rebuild from scratch. So what are your hobbies? What are the activities you like to do? What do you plan on doing there? Because you can only be or feel like a tourist for a very short period of time. And as we travel, every place is wonderful because we're there for a short period of time. And so we have to get, once you're past that, everything is new, I'm kind of a tourist for the first, however, even few months, then it's life, it's reality. Are you working? Are you retired? Do you have hobbies? What are you going to do in that new city and country?
That is the challenging part, because first, I always say that the ghost travel in your suitcase. You don't leave them at home. You know,
no.
They say, oh, we're moving. And they jump in the suitcase and they said, oh, we have a new house, a new reality. Let's see how we can screw you up. But you have to, you know, Proust said that the thing is to see things with new eyes. So if you want to do exactly the same thing and eat the same things that you didn't do at home, but they're from your home and you try to miss them. You know, in Argentina, we eat dulce de leche, caramel. And some people listen to tango. My dad used to love it. And tango is from my city, right? But if I, that was not something I did every day. So I start, if I start missing things that I did not do every day because they're from my country, or it doesn't work. It's the to me, the fortitude is to be sure that you are open to a new experience. The novelty is going to die. You're going to get bored of the city you live in. You're going to, you know, like anything else. But what is, what keeps you alive in that place? How can you open your eyes and see your city and the new place where you live with new eyes? You know, just sitting in a park or going to an area that is developing, or traveling around, or you know, not far, but you can go, you know, 50 miles north or 100 miles, 160 kilometers north or east or south or whatever. So you are opening your space. The novelty, you know, the first 6 months are hectic. And the next 6 months are, oh, this was a big mistake. Like a big, big mistake. So then you're a year in and you start to settle, right? To say,
yes.
Okay, this was a good move. Where I was and where I am now is different. How I feel, you know, we work through our own issues. Because if we don't have all that support, and not having the support is what says, oh, do you remember this? Well, now you have to look at that. And those are the interesting things. Some people don't want to do that. And it's absolutely perfect too. But the experience of moving around and relocating and traveling for extended periods like a month or a month and a half or 2 months, that is the challenge. This past February, I stayed for the first time in many, many, many years, a month in Buenos Aires, which is my city.
Okay.
So you think, you know, it's okay, you're going, but I was also a foreigner now. Because after so many years, I am a foreigner.
Right.
So I have to relearn things. I have to relearn social codes, because that we're
and those things have changed over the last 20 years, right? So those things aren't the same as they were when you left 20 years ago. So there's been change happening there as well, that now you have to readjust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you are open to that, you can have a great experience. However, if you're not open to that, and you want things to be like, you know, when I was in school, I was probably 15, and the Spanish teacher made us read a poem from the 1500s, and it was a drag for me. But one phrase of that poem stayed with me all this time. Like, with our own eyes, the past is always better, because we move all the things that were difficult, and we keep the romantic past. And no, sometimes it was not like that. So, you know, 20 years ago, there were many things that were not so good. And, you know, like everything goes in an evolution. That is what I like. Some people, you know, prefer to stay in the same place, and that's okay.
That's okay. So we don't want everybody to leave, because then it would be chaotic if everybody was always relocating and moving around.
But, you know, some of us are a little more adventurous. and inquisitive, and we want to do something different, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
And to me, it was a good move to come here, because, you know, I joke that my husband flew off with a hurricane, my first husband, which is not true, but I always joke about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just grew apart. And then I met my now husband for so many years, and he's from a different culture. He's Peruvian American, educated in England. So another one who, you know, does not, it's not one only thing. So that, you know, opened my horizons to new words from his Peruvian background, and to new foods that are really, you know, Peru has very very interesting cuisine in flavors, and so that opened another door. And his brother is married to a Japanese woman.
Oh, wow.
And he lives in Japan with his Japanese kids. So that is another layer of culture that you add. So
that's what I was just thinking. Like when the family gets together, that's like very international.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then we have the you know, the nephews that are from the US, born here, that really don't travel abroad much. And they feel perfectly happy with not doing it. So we have all the spectrum from the kids in Japan. Our niece goes to school in New Zealand, and the little boy went to some summer camp in I think it was in Indonesia, and you know, so we start, all that comes into my life and opens me to want new experiences and to visit new places. And I think Miami is a great base to do that, because you can
I
get
think
tickets.
It is a great base, because it's great to get to many locations quite easily from there.
Yeah. And you can travel almost to everywhere. So, you know, that's, to me, that's the beauty. In 10 years, I don't know, but, you know.
We can
now,
never predict the future.
No, but now it's still interesting. When it's not anymore, we will, you know, do something different. But
I got a
then,
feeling, though, it's always, for somebody like you, you're a lot like me. It's always going to be interesting, because there's always places to go. There's always different cultures, and it's not the same as watching a video, reading a book. Like, those are great kind of ways to learn bits, but we enjoy the experiences of being places. And unless you get to every place in the world, there's always another place to go, someplace new. And even with that, when I travel too, if I go to one country, I try to visit at least a few cities, because people will say, oh yes, I've been to Spain, I visited Barcelona. I'm like, okay, technically, yes, you're true. But also, Barcelona is almost the least Spanish city in Spain, because it's so international that it's not that true Spain experience. And so, I mean, a person could spend a lot of time in Spain just traveling around experiencing that. So we're never going to be done with experiences and done with travel unless we're tired, we don't want to do it anymore. But just from that, we'll never run out of things to do and places to go.
Well, I think I'm far away from that yet.
Yes.
But, you know, what you were saying from Spain, it's not the same if you go to Madrid and then Barcelona. Yeah. And it's not the same thing if you go to Barcelona or Sevilla. It's a complete different
completely
culture.
Different.
Or if you go to the Canary Islands, that it's still Spain. But it's a complete different lifestyle.
Yeah, it is.
You know, every time I am, since the first time I went to Paris, I loved it and I felt home. So every time I have to fly with a connection through Europe, I try to make it Paris, and stay 3-4 days. And but there's two things that you can do. You can do the things as a tourist, and that's good too. Or you can do what French Parisians do, which is, you know, walk around, go to the cafes, talk to friends, go to see an art exhibition, you know, so you have a different life. And instead of, you know, eating at the most famous cafe that shows in your father's guide, you can walk around and in a little neighborhood, you say, oh, look, that looks good, and you eat there and you chat to the people in the place. So it changes, even if it's a place that you more or less know, it's also good because you keep with the reality of the place.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think some of us have, you know, we're born with a suitcase in our hand, and some others don't. My mom doesn't like to travel. She doesn't like it. She never liked it. And she's a perfectly fine, interesting woman. But she doesn't like it.
Yeah, well, not everything's not for everybody. That's what makes us individual and ourselves. And we find people who like the things that we like. And that's great. Yeah.
That's what we have to respect. We have to respect that. But, you know, Bruce was very wise, saying it's not seeing the same thing, it's seeing the same thing with new eyes all the time, wherever you are. If you live in the same city, that's fantastic too, but be a tourist in your city, be an explorer.
Absolutely. You know,
how many times do we put on shorts and we do the tourist in Miami? And let me tell you, we find many things that we haven't seen. And,
I bet.
You know, we go around a lot. But, you know, put your tourist eyes and walk around with your camera and look up, not always down, look up and see what is different.
You just go to a different
like
neighborhood,
us,
a different area.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, but it's also good to have the consciousness that whatever reality you are in, is what you are putting forward.
Right, that's true.
So, you know, if you want to have a good experience in the place where you move, that's fantastic. But you can have the same miserable experience. It's thinking what kind of experience you want to have. You want to be surprised. You want to be all the same. You want to be, excited, or you want to be bored. It's our lenses. What kind of glasses we put on? Other than that, you know,
yeah, no, I agree. I do believe it is our own perspective of how it's going to be. And we can have the same situation, be positive or negative about it. So I think that's great advice. So Claudia, if people wanted to find your work, to follow you, potentially work with you or listen to your podcast once it comes out, where are the best places for people to find you?
They can find me on my Instagram. My Instagram handle is The Art of a Good Life. That is what I've been aiming to do all my life. What is your definition of your good life? It's not mine. It's just, you know, thinking about ideas that can help you to build your good life. That is a good one. My website is Claudia M. Gallegos, .com. So I guess you will have some notes on the podcast.
I'll put links in the show notes
perfect.
So people can easily connect with that. Yes.
Perfect, perfect. Those are the two best places.
Okay.
I'm always, you know, posting something. This week is going to be all art because it's what I call the most exciting week of Miami. Art Basel, that originally is in Switzerland, has three remote locations. One of them is Miami.
Nice.
The other one is Hong Kong. But this week is Miami, which has created an enormous, enormous amount of art fairs, exhibitions, art galleries, installations, all kinds of things. Early December,
Nice.
whoever wants to come is always invited. It's a very interesting week. You have to plan. Miami has received for this from Wednesday to Sunday. Miami expects about 100,000 visitors, plus all the people that drive to come here. So it's you have art galleries from all around the world. So all my postings are going to be art,
How
art, art.
exciting. How
Yes.
exciting.
And there's some very interesting things. For example, there's a big movement of graffiti artists. There's a neighborhood where the artists are working during the show, and by Sunday they will be finished. So
Okay.
it's a very interesting period, right? There's music,
Right.
there's artists, installations, food and parties, and a little bit of everything.
Nice. Excellent.
This week is going to be full art. Other weeks are different things,
Of
but
course, there's lots that's always going on in Miami.
yes.
Perfect.
And you
Well,
know,
I just want to
even if
say
it's
thank
a
you.
Even if it's a common thing, it's I always try to post things that give you ideas on how you can open your eyes and be attentive to your life. So, you
That's
know.
great advice. Right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Claudia. I know our listeners got a lot of valuable information and we're very interested in your story. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally, for having me in your show. It's a pleasure.